Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Dr. Marie Beelen.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Tony Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. Today, we're joined by Dr. Marie Beelen, a board-certified pediatrician and fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics. She has spent more than 15 years caring for families in Omaha and now serves patients through her practice, in-home peds. Dr. Beelen is a wife, mom of four, and serves on Assure's Advisory Council. Dr. Beelen, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
As someone who cares deeply for both children and families, how do you process the growing normalization of at-home abortions?
Mm-hmm. I just think it goes back to the spirit of the age of that we're so selfish. Mm-hmm. Our modern conveniences have tricked us into thinking that is the most important thing. Yeah. We need it faster. We need it sooner. Mm-hmm. Whether it's my Amazon, and I'm just as guilty, whether it's my Amazon delivery or I just cannot wait in lines anymore.
Between 4 and 7.
I am not okay with it. Yeah. I'm a homeschool mom. So yeah. I will completely avoid stores when other people are done with work. Like I am all about when can I go when no one else will be there. But when we get caught in that trap, then we don't see children as a blessing of the Lord. Yeah. Instead, we see them as blocking our goals. Yeah. And they are inconvenient and they are expensive and they are heartbreaking. Yeah. And we only focus on that instead of all of the wonderful ways that they change our lives personally and then the world at large. I mean, you just never know who this little person is. And you talk about the butterfly effect. Right. It's just when I think of the people who have shaped and formed me, some of whom I don't even know their names. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just that extra kind person who, you know, was there in the airport at the exact right moment. Yeah. And that you never know if your child, you can pretty much guarantee your child will be that for someone. Mm-hmm. And so to deprive the world of that person is just, it's wrong and it's sad. Yeah. And so I am grateful for how my children have revealed my selfishness, have helped me to die to myself and to put others before myself, to put others' wants and desires before me. Yeah. I think we are all better people because of the children in our lives, because of the crazy messes that they make and the silly things that they say and how long it takes to load them into a car. And I am humbled by them and they have taught me to not take myself too seriously. Yes. And it is wrong to segregate ourselves as a society from anyone who's inconvenient, be it old or young or just different.
Absolutely. That's good. That's good. What do you wish more women understood before making a decision about a chemical abortion?
I wish they understood that they are not alone. Mm-hmm. I wish they understood there are so many people. They may not know them yet. Mm-hmm. The people that they are surrounded with may not be loving and supportive. They may be filling them with fear and shame instead, but there are others. Mm-hmm. And if they can expand their circle, if they can find places like Assure where they will be loved, they will be seen, they will be supported through this decision that there are resources. Yeah. It is scary. It will not be easy. Mm-hmm. There is nothing easy about being pregnant. Yeah. There's nothing easy about parenting. There's nothing easy about adoption. All of these choices are difficult, just like life is difficult. Yeah. But there are mentors and friends to be able to guide you through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How important is it for women to have access to accurate medical information and compassionate care in that moment?
It's everything.
Yeah.
It is a great responsibility to have medical knowledge, and it can be used to manipulate people. It can be used to get people to decide what I want them to decide. Yeah. That is paternalistic medicine that we have rejected.
Yeah.
And so the current model is we can trust the patient to make a decision.
Yeah.
They are entitled to their own decision as long as they are provided with the actual facts.
Yeah.
And so allowing people to reach their own decision when they are given the full information. And so for a woman considering abortion, that isn't just these are the three choices. It's also what are the consequences of these choices. And let's look at the statistics of women who regret their abortion. Let's look at the statistics of women who feel the burden of having had an abortion. Let's look at the number of women who regret carrying a child to term. I don't think there's very many of them.
Yeah.
And so really thinking through the decision in a full kind of health span way, instead of we're so scared.
Yeah.
What's the quickest, easiest thing to do right now? But to really look down the road of how do these kinds of decisions affect a woman for her whole life?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things for me is just the abortion pill is accessible, but the information about the abortion pill is not.
Completely.
And, you know, so many girls go into to have, they decide to do the chemical abortion or have a chemical abortion, and they have no idea what they're going to experience. You know, how many girls, when they have that that abortion and they look in the toilet and they see a baby,
yes,
they've not been told that.
No.
And so I just think that that's the thing that gets me. We don't give them the information that they need.
Exactly.
And I don't know, I just have a hard time understanding how any woman or any doctor would send a child,
yep,
in many cases, home to have a miscarriage on her own without giving her all the details of what she's going to experience.
Yep.
If you've ever experienced a miscarriage,
yes,
and you send someone home to have one on their own, it's just barbaric.
Yep, it completely is. And even just the way that it is advertised.
Yeah.
I know I've looked at those same websites and experimented with how easy is it here in Nebraska, where it should be illegal.
Yeah.
How easy is it for me to get an abortion pill mailed to me? And it's shockingly easy.
Yeah.
And the way they get around it is by calling it the late period pill.
Yes.
So that is not informing the woman
that
she is pregnant. That is trying to define it and spin it for a woman that this is just, you're a little late in your period. And so let's make your period happen. There's nothing in that that can sense a woman that this is, if she believes that that is a human, that she is now killing that human.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
And what that means is we don't trust her to make the quote, right decision defined by a pro-abortionist.
Yeah.
That's paternalistic.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've always admired about Assure is that you present the truth to these women, and that is why you're so successful, because they sense and they know they are not being lied to. They are not being babied. They are being treated as humans, and you are seeing these women in their full selves and trying to help them to understand the big decision in front of them and all of their choices. And that's why you're so successful for life.
Well, thank you for that. That's our small part that we play, just wanting to provide truth for those young ladies who find themselves facing, a decision that perhaps they've never thought they'd have to make. And often say the decisions these young ladies make today will affect them the rest of their lives. They don't know it in the moment. And so if we can just give them a glimmer of hope, one, but also to a reality of this is what you're facing, Maybe they will choose to choose life for their babies. And it's just something about giving them the truth and allowing them to see it for themselves. Mm-hmm. But so many girls, not just here in Omaha and Nebraska, but are just being deceived. Mm-hmm. And that deception is they're not being given the information that they need. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's fatalistic on our part that we don't think that they're, well, not us, but there are people that don't believe that they can make a decision for themselves. Yep.
They're just not smart enough or something. No, it's so frustrating. Yeah. It's the opposite of feminism.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Now, you serve on our Assure's Advisory Council, and I'm so grateful for that. What has that experience meant to you personally?
It's just so hope-filling. It's a dose of hope every time I get to come. One, to see the amazing, capable staff that you have. I mean, your staff could be running corporate America, and instead they choose to use their gifts and abilities to serve Omaha and to serve the women of Omaha. And it's just so heartwarming to see the talent that you have put together and that you yourself are a part of. And then to see the vision, it's so exciting to get to see the vision cast. I get like a sneak peek into what God is doing at Assure and how you are guiding and letting God guide you to the next steps and these steps that you're making towards life in Omaha. It's a rare gift to have a facility like Assure and an organization like Assure in our community. Mm-hmm. And I love being a part of the advisory board because I don't take it for granted. There are a lot of cities that are bigger and fancier and probably more well-founded funded than Omaha, but they have nothing like Assure to offer women in town.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, I always say I have a great team. I do. And like you said, there are many that could be doing other things, but God has called them here. And it is a calling. It's I don't think any of us look at it as just a job. In fact, at one of our staff meetings, I kind of said, if you're here for a job, you're in the wrong place.
You're going to work way too hard.
Yes, you got to be called. So,
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby.
You're listening to Life Matters with Tony Clark. Today we're talking with Dr. Marie Beelen, pediatrician and member of Assure's Advisory Council. We've been discussing her heart for life, the importance of instilling life values in the next generation, and the medical and cultural concerns surrounding the abortion pill. You're also a busy mom of four. How have you been intentional about instilling a strong value for life in your children?
My husband and I are very much believers in that we are, as parents, to protect our kids, but not shelter them. Mm-hmm. And so we have tried to be honest from the beginning that there are hard and sad things out there, whether it's me coming home from clinic sad because one of my patients has cancer or the fact that there are babies that are killed while they're still inside their moms. Yeah. And so I think I don't remember exactly how it all, like the first time, but I'm sure it started with tours of Assure, wanting the kids to be aware of this resource in our community and to come on one of the family tours so that they could see the hope that Assure provides for that darkness that's in our community. One of our favorite traditions at Christmas, we put out a bunch of pennies representing the money that the kids have at the end of the year to give away from Christmas gifts from their grandparents or money that they've earned from chores through the years. And we all sit around and we talk about what in the community do we want to give our pennies to. And so the kids always, Assure has been on their list with, you know, all kinds of other things, the zoo, the Humane Society. Yeah. Animals are usually involved in some way, but the Open Door Mission and Assure get on there. And so the kids, I think every year have put, you know, their money, and they write their little check because they want to be a part of the hope that you're providing for Omaha. Well, so that's another way we bring them in.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's so funny. You know, my girls are 22 and 27 at this point, but I always hear little things. I'm like, man, I wish I had thought about that when I was.
You do it as a grandma.
Maybe one of these days. We'll see. I sure hope so. So I am a geriatric mom, so you know they need to hurry up and get here.
They're on a timeline.
Right. They're on my timeline. Oh, my goodness. All right. For parents listening, how can they begin to have conversations with their kids about life in a way that is both truthful and age appropriate? Mm.
That's a great question. There's a lot of wonderful guidance out there by parents way smarter than me. I'm a big fan of hard conversations like that being viewed as a lifeline conversation, yeah. Not just the talk.
Right.
And so starting as early as we had a board book about where do babies come from, that was just part of our rotation. We would read Curious George, The Little Engine That Could, and then sometimes this book would come out too, yeah. That just very in an age-appropriate kind of beautiful way talked about that babies are life, and yeah. That they are real from the moment of conception, and that they're not from a stork, and just kind of, I think sometimes we as parents can have cute little lies that feel adorable, but do lead to very big, confusing things later in life. And so I've always been a fan of just being open and honest with our children. Yes. Most of the time, they're filling in their own gaps. And so if we don't fill them in, they fill them in with very odd gaps.
Absolutely.
There's lots of research about when children that have a terminal illness that are dying, some parents feel very strongly about not telling the child the truth about that. And that's the parents' right. So they can do these studies in an ethical way of seeing how does that play out versus the parents that are honest with their child. And every single time what they find is that the child who isn't told the truth fills in the gap with, I did something wrong. I'm bad. And that's why I'm in the hospital. I'm a bad girl. And that's why this is happening to me. And so through research like that, we've found time and again, it is always best to be honest with children. And so when they, you know, catch the snippet from the news report or from your podcast that you're listening to with them in the car, to not move on, to not say, oh, I'll talk to you about that later, but to take that moment and say, well, what they're talking about there is that that some women are afraid and they don't have a daddy that wants to support the baby, or they have parents that are not supportive, or their job is really important, and so they choose to kill their baby and to end their baby's life so that they can move on. And however that conversation goes, the most important thing is that you're just telling them the truth.
Absolutely. I like the age appropriate. As my girls were growing up, we when things came up, we just talked about them, you know, at age appropriate. My girls went to a Christian school. And I remember Aaliyah, my youngest, finding the baby models. And she wrapped them up in blankets. And, you know, but one day she took one to school.
Oh, yep, that'll happen.
And so she came home, and we were on our way home from school. She's just kind of talking, and it came up, and it, for a minute, it shocked me. I'm like, what did you say at school? Because we are very open with our girls. Yes. Once again, age appropriate, but I don't always know what other parents are saying to their kids.
Exactly.
And so even with that, it was like, this is, I wanted our house to be a safe place to talk about anything, but also trying to help them realize everybody doesn't have the conversations that we have in our house.
Exactly.
But I think it's so important that we talk to them, because if they're not hearing it from us, like you said, they're filling in the gaps, or they're hearing it from someone else, whether it's, you know, a child has been diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, or whether it's about pro-life issues, whatever, or sex, or relationships. If they're not hearing it from us, they're going to hear it from somebody else.
Yep.
So just age appropriate. I think that's the important key there.
Yep, absolutely.
Marie, many moms feel overwhelmed and stretched thin. What encouragement would you give to busy moms who care deeply about these issues but don't know where to start?
I think never underestimating the power of prayer.
Yeah.
It took me far too many decades of my Christian walk to fully acknowledge that prayer is an action. Yeah. And it is the most important action mm-hmm. that I can do. So when I'm folding laundry, when I'm washing dishes, to pray for mm-hmm. Assure, to pray for your ministry, to pray for the women that are out there lost in the dark and mm-hmm. feeling alone, to pray for the lives inside of them to be saved. I had a great friend who, whenever she was doing, she had different prayers assigned to each mundane task of mommyhood throughout the day. So when she was changing diapers, she would pray for her parents. When she was washing dishes, she would pray for the church. When she was folding laundry, she would pray for the Women's Crisis Pregnancy Center in her neighborhood. So just things like that, of making it, we all have our minds mm-hmm. and we can all talk to God wherever we are, whether we're doing a 3 a.m. feed or changing a 6 a.m. diaper. Yeah. But then also, once you have your head slightly above the waterline and you're breathing and your kids are old enough that they can come along on field trips. Mm-hmm. Kids love field trips and Assure, I can say, does an amazing job of making the tour very entertaining. And my kids loved it. Mm-hmm. And so to take advantage, not just have field trips to be to the park and the zoo and the water parks, but to think about intentional field trips for your children as well. Mm-hmm. To show them just how great Omaha is too, that we have many blessings in this community, and Assure is just one of them, of a group of people who really care for women and are doing wonderful things here. It's uplifting. Yeah. This is not a scary, sad place. It is the exact opposite, and there's joy.
Mm-hmm. Good. The other thing I often tell people is that it's a season. You know, this may be your season to pray. And as you said, you know, every level is a little different. Kids get a little older, and you can bring them by for a tour, or you can maybe do a family project or something.
Yes.
And when they get a little older, maybe you come and volunteer. Mm-hmm. But it's a season, so you know, prayer is always available and much needed. So it's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. So what are some simple, practical ways they can model a culture of life in their homes?
I think honoring life in all of its forms. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for us to do because sometimes we're just as uncomfortable. Yeah. And so looking for the opportunities to be kind to those around us, to not see, oh, there's someone coming in a wheelchair. They're going to take forever. Mm-hmm. I better rush ahead and go through the door. Mm-hmm. Saying this because that's how I think. Yeah. So I am looking at myself in the mirror, instead taking that opportunity to think, I am not in that much of a hurry. Yeah. And I would like to model for my children right now. I see this person. This is a human, and now with our modern conveniences, they don't even need me to hold the door, but I will honor them and let them go first. Yeah. And I am going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I am not that important. Yeah. They are important. Yeah. So simple things like that, but any opportunity possible to have people in your lives that are different than you, whatever that means, people that make you feel slightly uncomfortable is good because it's revealing something inside of me and it's refining something in me that needs to be refined and that I need to learn to love people in all of their different forms. And then when your children see that, then they get comfortable. There are no more patient and kind children than the siblings of children with disabilities. And they know how to love well, to watch the other children care and love for that child, and how the child that is different is able to interact and make that family better is a gift of the Lord every time.
If you could speak directly to a woman who is facing an unplanned pregnancy right now, what would you want her to hear?
You are not alone. I often think of in the Bible, Hagar was an unwed mother, and the dad didn't want the baby, and the woman who orchestrated events to get Hagar pregnant didn't want her around anymore. Yeah. She was outcast, and she was not alone. She was literally in a wilderness, literally in the desert, no human around. But Jehovah Rapha, the God who sees, mm-hmm. saw her and loved her mm-hmm. and gave her a promise, mm-hmm. both for herself and her child, mm-hmm. that this was not a mistake. Mm-hmm. As horrible as these circumstances were, God was going to use it. He would use her and he would use her son. Mm-hmm. And that is what I would want them to know, mm-hmm. that you are not alone. This is not a mistake. Mm-hmm. This child is not a mistake. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing. Mm-hmm. God uses it all.
Absolutely. He absolutely does. That's one of my favorite Bible stories. Mm-hmm. He is the guy who sees me. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who sees me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And he knows it all. I don't have to hide it.
Nope.
He knows every awful thing I've done.
And he still loves me.
And he loves me. He loves me. Absolutely. And he loves them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Dr. Beelen, thank you so much for joining me today and for the way you're using your voice, your profession, and your family to stand for life. Before we wrap up, can you please tell our listeners about your in-home pediatric care for Omaha Metro families, in-home peds, and where they can learn more?
Yes. So I am the first pediatrician in Omaha that is doing house calls. A very new but ancient model that we've going back to. Right. And so if they want to find out more, it's my website, inhomepeds.com. And all the pricing and information that they need and then how to sign up is also on that website.
Okay, good. In-home peds. Where were you when my babies were babies?
I was with Village Point. Well, not even then. I was in medical school.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Beelen. We're so grateful for you.
Thank you.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.